I was hoping to end 1 Timothy in a memorable way, but I never would have thought that it would have been like this. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season." And that means even during COVID, we have to keep preaching. And even if it means doing it over Zoom, we need to be ready to preach. So this is going to be a memorable occasion for us. Because I'm preaching over Zoom, I'm going to work to keep it to a shorter message because I know it can be a little more difficult without me there able to engage and walk down the aisles and, you know, wake up anyone who's sleeping. I can't do that over Zoom. I'm preaching on 1 Timothy 6, verses 20 to 21, and the main theme that we're looking at is guarding the truth. I want to break this down into two different themes. The first one is the same, guard the truth, and the second is eliminate the lies. So as I read the passage, you're going to see where I got those two themes from. Let me read the passage and then we'll pray. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the very end there, verses 20 and 21. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. Let's pray, and then we'll dive into this important text. Father God, you are a good God. You care for us. You provide for us. Even when we get sick, we know that you are sovereignly in control. It's just reading in 2 Corinthians that when we, in our weakness, you are made strong. You show yourself strong in our weaknesses. And I feel somewhat weak, God, but I know that you are in control, that you are able to use your word. And I pray you would sustain me and guide me now as I preach from this important passage on guarding the good deposit of your word. May we all be compelled and motivated to do that. Paul loved the idea of the church guarding the truth. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he said, "I'm writing this letter, Paul, so that Timothy, to you, so that you may know how one ought to behave in the Church of God, which is the pillar and buttress of the truth." It's that idea of the church guarding the truth, the church being the foundation for what is communicated to the world. Guarding the truth was never supposed to be the solitary work of academic theologians up in their ivory tower. No, guarding the truth is the work of the local church. I think that is a privilege that we need to remind ourselves of as believers. This is not something that we can just leave to others, but it truly is the work of the local church. And, of course, the leadership of the church, the elders of the church, have the primary responsibility to guard the truth. But today, I hope that you will see this is supposed to filter down into the lives of every believer. This is supposed to be a part of our worldview as Christians. We have been given this deposit. We are to guard it so that it can be passed from one generation down to the next. I was really struck by this during COVID because, my goodness, for our generation, this has been a trial of the decade for sure. How is our church going to do with guarding the deposit, with making sure that it gets passed on, even with all the difficulties that we've experienced? Praise God, we were able to stand firm during this difficult season. And now I feel like we can look back and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We know that we have an important message that we need to share with others. And that's why we went through all the lengths we did to preach outside, to I had a radio ministry for a time when we were listening to sermons over radios in our cars. Why did we do all that? It's because we believe the message that God has given us is important enough to maintain and to continue to preach and to proclaim throughout our generation, and we look to the next generation. If the Lord tarries in coming back, we want to make sure it is guarded and passed on. I want to make sure that we guard the deposit in two ways. The first is to guard the truth, and the second is to eliminate the lies. So if you're taking notes, that's how I'm going to break up this message today. Guard the truth, eliminate the lies. Let's start by understanding what Paul meant when he said, "Oh, Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you." The word Paul used for guarding the truth was phulasso. It is this powerful Greek word that means to stand guard, as in the military. It's a military word that is used for sentinels standing guard over a camp or over a city. There's a lot of responsibility that is in the guard's job description. The enemy doesn't say when they're going to attack. The guard needs to be ready at all times. So I was thinking about this. It made me think of Nehemiah as he was rebuilding Jerusalem, the wall in Jerusalem. He told his people, okay, one half needs to be ready to stand guard with weapons, while the other half is building up the wall. It's that idea of having a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. You're doing God's work and you're guarding at the same time. Paul loved this word, phulasso. He used it four times in the pastoral epistles, once in the passage we're looking at now. But in chapter 5, he also used it. He wrote, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality." That word keep is the same word phulasso. Then in 2 Timothy 1:14, it says, "By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." I think that's a fascinating verse because it says that we do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. Also in 2 Timothy 1:12, the same word is used when Paul says, "But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." So Paul was saying his strength in guarding the deposit does not come from himself. It actually comes from God. And that is really important and encouraging for us. We need to remind ourselves that it's not ultimately up to us to guard the deposit. Praise God, He is the one who promises to do it despite our weaknesses. But if we can remember our strength is in Him, we will see the attacks of the enemy in God's perspective and be able to stand firm and guard what He has entrusted with us. Guarding the truth of what's in Scripture is not just limited to the preacher and to the teacher. 2 Timothy 2:2 makes it clear that Timothy was to train up faithful men who would train others also. So once again, I want to harp on that point that this is the work of the church. If you are in our church, you are, Lord willing, you're being discipled. You are getting ownership in the message so that you are embodying it in your own life and you are communicating it with others. By living out the gospel, you are guarding it so that it will stay true. It will have a beautiful image of God in your life that will be shown to the world around you. This is an important mentality that we need to foster as a church. Our church life, our family, exists to guard what we have been given. In Luke 12:48, Jesus said, "To whom much is given, much is what? Much is required. And we have the complete Word of God with us in the Bible. We have a high calling, and we need to live up to that calling and make sure to know it and to guard it. So, what is the deposit that we are to guard? It is God's Word. Now, in one sense, it's the gospel. It has a simple element and a complex element to it. 1 Timothy 1:15 sums up the message of the gospel very simply. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you want to know what the core of this message is that we are to guard, it's that right there. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's simple in one sense, but it's also complex. It's not just facts. It's not just the words of Scripture. We are to work as a church family to guard our relationship with God. 1 Timothy 1:5 is very helpful. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. The aim of our charge, the focal point of this deposit is a living relationship with God. The amazing supernatural agape love of God is what we are to guard. And that can't happen unless your life has been changed and unless you have repented of your sin and recognize you're not to live your life for yourself, but you are to live it for God. And once the love of God overwhelms you and draws you to repentance and gives you meaning and establishes a relationship with you in life, then you are able to experience that love and find the true meaning and purpose of your life. I just get fired up thinking about that. We have the most important message of any message in the world. And it's not just facts, although, of course, you have to know certain things in order to be saved, but it is a relationship with God, with the amazing agape love of God that He sent and showed us through His Son coming and dying on the cross and raising from the dead so that we might have an eternal relationship with Him in heaven. Amen. Can I get an amen over Zoom? Amen. We need to guard this deposit so that it can be passed on to the next generation. Now we know that this deposit, what it is, how can we go about guarding it? This is a very practical question that we need to tease out of this passage. I think 1 Timothy 1:5 helps us out again here. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Every Christian needs to protect the purity of their own heart, the goodness of their own conscience, and the sincerity of their own faith. I mean, that's why we are gathered today. We gather every week. We gather as a church family to make sure that our consciences are not getting watered down by the world around us. We are to sharpen each other as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It means we have to have fellowship with each other to do this. There needs to be a sense of ownership in guarding the good deposit. God made this clear when He brought the Israelites out of Egypt and gave them the law at Mount Sinai. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 is a fascinating verse. It says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law." For as long as God has had His people, He has wanted them to be people of the book. He has wanted them to be people who own His words and make them a part of who they are. They belong to us and to our children. How much do you sense God's word belonging to you? How much do you cherish it? How much do you work your life around it? There is a clear connection between that sense of ownership of God's word in your life and your commitment to guarding it. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against God. If you memorize and meditate on God's word, you are storing it up. You are guarding it in your own heart. In 1 Timothy, we know very clearly how we are, as a church, are supposed to guard the truth. We are to study this letter, 1 Timothy, and to understand what's going on in each chapter. We need to know in chapter 1 that we have to protect ourselves against false teaching. In chapter 2, we need to be a people who are focused on prayer. That's always convicting because prayer is hard. How can we guard the deposit? It means we need to guard the time we spend as a church in prayer. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to continue to improve in that as a church family. In chapter 3, we need to know how to lead the church, how to run the church. 1 Timothy 3 gives very clear descriptions of elders and deacons and what their function is. Chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, we need to know how to be trained in Scripture, how to improve in Scripture. Chapter 5, we need to know how to care for the widows, care for the elders, care for those who are elderly amongst us, for our families. Guarding the deposit does not just mean memorizing Scripture and meditating on it. It means being the hands and feet of Christ. It means guarding the love of God and showing it to our own church family and to the community around us. Chapter 6, Paul hits back on false teaching. Guarding the deposit does mean making sure to know what the truth is, and so we can tell what the lies are and know how to separate them from us. By studying 1 Timothy, we have become a more equipped church. I mean, do you realize that? Do you realize how God has used our study in this letter to grow us? We are more godly after a year of studying 1 Timothy than we were before. We need to be encouraged by that. We need to realize that God is actively maturing us and helping us grow in godliness by sitting under His Word, by allowing it to impact us, by changing, letting it change the way we function, so that we might be made more into His image. One way we are doing this is with the equipping classes, and I'm really glad some of you were here this morning for the equipping class. We want to use that as a very practical way to continue to teach you how to guard the truth of Scripture and use it. And starting next Sunday, we're going to do a focused series on prayer. How do you pray? And we're going to give time during the equipping class to pray. So I encourage you, come to that. Grow in your love for prayer. Grow in how much time you are praying. Let's look a year back. You know, after a year, let's look back and see that we are a more prayerful church than we are this year. Our passage today makes it clear that we are to guard the deposit. This was Timothy's challenge that he received from Paul, was to guard the deposit. It's just a wonderfully succinct command that wraps up the message of 1 Timothy. We have to guard it. The other command that we're now going to look at is we have to make sure to eliminate the lies. And the way Paul describes this in 1 Timothy 6 is avoid irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. As we've been studying 1 Timothy, you've seen that this was a major issue for the church in Ephesus. And I'm always surprised, you know, you think, oh, things were better in the early church. Things were easier. Things were they had a more pure understanding of what it means to be the church. Well, if you go back and read the book of Acts, you realize the enemy was trying to infiltrate and tear down the church from the very beginning. As soon as it started, on the day of Pentecost, the church has been accosted by the enemy. And so we need to be wise to that. We need to realize that and understand the enemy is still trying to infiltrate and weaken the church, and we need to know how to eliminate the lies that continue to try to pour in. The command in 1 Timothy chapter 6 right there, avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions, is actually a participle, which means it's not a pure verb, a pure command, but it's connected to the other command, guard the deposit. We could translate this, O Timothy, guard the deposit, avoiding irreverent babble and contradictions. I've summarized each of these distractions that are mentioned there as lies. Eliminate the lies. So if you're taking notes, that's the heading there. Paul wanted Timothy to keep the teaching pure by avoiding false teaching. And as we've studied this, you've known he bookends this entire letter with this theme. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which lead to speculations, rather than the stewardship from God which is by faith. So even in the church in Ephesus, false teachers were trying to come in and infiltrate it. Again in chapter 4, Paul mentioned this. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. In chapter 6, verse 3, we also see this. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. These false teachers were holding to what is often called the Ephesian heresy. It was a mashup of different teaching that served their interests instead of serving God's interests. Paul wrote about this again in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm just going to read several verses here of 2 Timothy 2 verses 16, because you can tell this was even a theme when Paul wrote another letter to Timothy later. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. That passage is fascinating to me because it uses the same phrase, irreverent babble, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 16, that is used in 1 Timothy chapter 6. That phrase, irreverent babble, is made of two different words in the original. The first word, irreverent, means having no impact, being pointless. If you think about how Jesus talked to the Pharisees, I think it gives you an idea of what he means here. They're like whitewashed tombs. In Matthew 23, he gives this scathing illustration of the irreverence of the religious leaders. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Talk about wasted words. These people would travel overseas and share a message, but it actually just damned the people who were listening even more, so that they would become further removed from the truth of God. The irreverent, pointless foolishness that these people were saying. The other word in 1 Timothy that is used is babelus. It sounds like babble, irreverent babble. This is the opposite of guarding something. This is letting it become worthless. Like a babbling brook, it just nothing coherent. It just goes on and on. When I was thinking about this, it made me think of the Tower of Babel. I mean, that word is connected here in the Greek as well. The people thought as they built the Tower of Babel that they were going to do something, that they were going to accomplish something, but God came and gave them different languages, and their goals were broken. Their desire to accomplish something was brought to nothing. The difficulty about, and this has to do with false teaching, irreverent babble. Paul is saying we need to avoid it. We need to eliminate it from having an impact in the church. Now, it would be nice, wouldn't it, if every false teaching came from one specific place in the world, and you knew, see, it's coming from that one place. They have a certain accent when they speak there. Oh, it's easy to dismiss. The problem with false teaching and this irreverent babble is that it often comes under the guise of successful teaching. This is why there are so many churches in our country and around the world that take people away from the truth. It's because it doesn't sound like babble. It sounds like something good. It sounds like something attractive. The context is a huge stadium where everyone is impressed with all the money that this speaker has. We are not to be swayed by the messenger. We are to analyze the message. And this is how we can tell if something is true or not. It's the content of what is being communicated, not the way it's being communicated. This becomes even more clear with this word contradictions. Paul said, avoid irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. We know that the way you can eliminate the lies is by understanding what the truth is, so that you can see what the lies are. They are contradictions. They may sound like they have parts of the truth, but they change it. They abuse the truth. They twist it so that it serves their own purposes. The word there is antithesis in the Greek. It means inconsistencies. And praise God, as we've studied 1 Timothy, we've become more attuned to what the true gospel is and what false gospels are. We are not immune to this. America is full of health and wealth teaching, where people use certain verses. They take them out of context and make us think that if we just believe them, then things could change and our lives would improve. God doesn't promise that you're going to have health and wealth. The whole COVID virus, you made it clear that the prosperity gospel was not going to be as popular because the country, the world, was getting hit with sickness. That doesn't fit in with the narrative of the false teaching of prosperity gospel. That made it easy to see that prosperity gospel is not true. But there are many other teachings that are not as bold-faced. Satan is the father of lies, and he often teaches with subtle lies. Sometimes they're very small lies, like he tricked Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, did God really say you shall not eat from the fruit that is in the middle of the garden? He placed doubt into his mind. We need to be aware of that. We need to make sure that we are not doubting the goodness of God and the clear teaching of Scripture, but we are standing firm on it. The father of lies often uses lies that are so big they don't get seen. This happens in 2 Timothy. There were false teachers who were coming into the church who were saying that the resurrection has already taken place. I mean, that is a bold-faced lie. If you take time to think about it, you realize how absurd it would be to say that the resurrection has already taken place. That would have an impact on all the believers who were present. But these false teachers sometimes come and try to say a big lie so that people just, it overwhelms and changes their foundation. We have to be on guard against these things. We have to recognize the lies and make sure that we are not being pushed away from the truth. Paul, at the end of 1 Timothy chapter 6, says, by professing it, some have wandered away from the truth. You see that in 1 Timothy chapter 6? Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it some have swerved from the faith. So right there, it means that you can get caught into this, and by entertaining these ideas, it can have a negative impact and your faith can be weakened as a result. I immediately think of the story of Simon the magician. Do you remember this story from Acts chapter 8? It's a surprising one, and it's one that I've already actually mentioned in this series on 1 Timothy, but I think it's helpful to just go back and tell the story again. Simon the magician was a convert to Christianity. We believe that the text says that he came to faith and was baptized. But his understanding of what it meant to follow Christ came into question when he saw Peter and the other disciples doing miracles. His desire to be able to use his money to purchase power came back to haunt him, and he asked the disciples how much, you know, he would have to pay to be able to do the miracles like them. Well, Peter confronts him and says, may your money burn, you know, may your money come to nothing, because he is not speaking and thinking as a believer, he is thinking as a non-believer. That's always fascinating to think about that, because he had been baptized. He had been brought into the church, and yet his desire to have to be able to have power, to be able to have influence, impacted him in a negative way. I think that can fit into one of these examples of irreverent babble and contradictions. We have to be on guard against that. We have to realize that there is a tendency for us to be wrapped up in what the world has to offer and get swayed by the lies. Paul took this warning very personally, because in 1 Timothy he mentions the names of people who have been swayed. Hymenaeus and Alexander were swayed by this. And then in 2 Timothy, it was Hymenaeus and Philetus. They had heard Paul's teaching, but they were greedy. They wandered away. They followed their own stomachs instead of following after God. And this is something that we constantly need to check ourselves on. What are our motives for how we are living for God? Are we doing it because it is comfortable? Are we doing it because it feels like, you know, we feel good inside? You will feel good if you're following after God. Your spirit will be at peace. But we have to really ask, when it doesn't feel good, are we willing to serve God? When we have to sacrifice things and give things up, when sharing the gospel is uncomfortable, are we willing to do that? If you aren't willing to give things up for God, you need to realize you're falling into one of the contradictions of false teaching, where they would say, you know, you need to go with the flow. You need to only serve God in the way that is right for you. Our society feeds that mentality, comfortable religion, whereas the truth of following after Christ is not comfortable. It means you're going to get out of your comfort zone and be sacrificial and serve other people. When I think about how to summarize these contradictions and eliminating these lies, I think of an article that was I found really helpful. It says there are three different ways that heresies and false teaching can be defined. One is legalism, one is antinomianism, and the other is Gnosticism. And you've heard me teach on these before. But the legalist is the idea that in order to be saved, you have to serve God plus do this. You have to limit what is done in order to be saved. And we have to be aware of that. This is one of the ways false teaching can filter into the church. The other, which is much more prominent today, is this idea of being antinomian. That means to be against the law. So this is the idea that I'm saved, but I can still live this way. I've given my life to God, but I still want to have this and that. And this is very easy to filter into the church. I and the author of this article say this is the most prominent one today, where the truth of the gospel gets watered down. And we see that all around us. The society just continues to water things down. We have to make a firm stand for the truth and make sure that we are not being lenient, being looking the other way with sin. We have to make sure to serve God in a way that is holy. The last one is Gnosticism. This is a philosophy that encourages people to study secret and hidden knowledge. I often think of the Masonic lodges and different secret societies that we have around us here in Lemoore. There are probably some Christians who think they can be a part of those. We have to make sure that people realize you cannot be trivial with the truth of the gospel. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to be invested in the church and not in these other things that distract us from him. There are many examples of false teaching around us. We need to be committed to avoiding them, to calling them out, and to making sure we're not getting caught up in them. I'm glad in our study of 1 Timothy that we've been able to do this with different teachings. And one of the things that the elders and I did during our series on 1 Timothy was to beef up our statement of faith. So now new members, when they join our church, they work through a thicker statement of faith than we had more than a year ago, and I think that's a great way to be able to protect ourselves, to know this is what we believe as a church. We do not believe in this and that. We do believe in this, and it protects us and helps us so that our church will not get watered down, Lord willing, by false teaching, because we are seeking to guard and protect the deposit that has been given to us. You can see why Paul ended the letter the way he did. But as for you, Timothy, guard the deposit. Avoid this false teaching. He knew that if Timothy took that seriously and created a culture in the church of guarding the truth and avoiding the lies, then God would be able to continue to work through the church. And I think this is a great place to end this message and for us to just look into the rest of this year. How are we working to guard the truth? There are many churches in Lemoore, in Hanford, in Kings County. All of them are tempted to follow the trends of the world, use a business model to attract more people. We need to be ready to be focused on the simple truth of Scripture and understanding what the love of God is and sharing that with others. That is how we can guard the deposit. And I hope that we are encouraged as a church family and are committed to that. It's not just what happens on a Sunday morning, but what happens throughout the week. And I just pray that God will use this powerfully to help us understand our commitment to guard the truth and to be focused on Him. Thank you so much, you guys, for listening through and hearing this message. I pray that it has been impactful to you as it has been for me in being reminded of our calling to guard the truth. I'm going to end the sermon by praying, and then I'll let Ray close the service and dismiss everyone.